Welcome to the Vine Life Podcast. We're a church in Manchester who love Jesus, each other, and our city. Catch up on this week's message and more.
There is no greater love than they that lay their life down for their friends. We find our identity in whose we are, not who we are. And this rampant individualism is everywhere. And maybe we are so lonely and fractured in our world today because we've lost the heart and the art of preferring one another over ourselves. That we turn our phone on in the morning. From the moment we walk out of our door, we are bombarded with messages of rampant, expressive individualism. Have it your way. Live your life. But there's no greatest love than they that lay their life down for their friends. And as you develop this culture of connection, which I see already in you, may you afresh whatever you're doing to lay your life down for those around you. May you crank that up a notch. For some of us, that might mean dropping everything to be there for those who need us. For some of us, that might mean avoiding the need to be right all the time. For some of us, that might mean being friends with those who are different from us. This person I've seen this sacrificial nature most recently in is my mum. Mentioned I had a terrible pandemic. First of all, I had a terrible pandemic because I'm an author. My first book came out the week all the bookshops closed in March 2020. I had a pity party for one under the duvet. But then a few weeks later, found out something far more tragic, that my mum, who'd been battling cancer for about 6 months, we found that cancer was terminal. So I spent the first few weeks of lockdown sat at the end of her driveway, watching her physically deteriorate. And yet this was a woman who, as a young girl, had given her life to Jesus. She'd become friends with the living God. And as she physically deteriorated spiritually, I never saw her so strong. And then she did something I recommend we all do if we know we're going to be with Jesus soon. And that is, one afternoon she took her iPad and she recorded a message to be played at her funeral. She always wanted the last word, did my mum. And she talked about in this message how her decision to follow Jesus had given her forgiveness for her past. God's presence in her present agony, but also the absolute assurance that she would go to heaven when she died. And she went to be with Jesus on the 8th of June, 2020. We weren't able to have a physical funeral of the size that she would have wanted. So we did that on Zoom. It was amazing. About 300 screens turned up. It was extraordinary. Then my mum got to talk at her own funeral, as she would have wanted. But then, because she wasn't around to stop me, and I'm a bit of an evangelist, I had the last word. And I gave people the opportunity to choose to follow the Jesus that my mum loved. And after we clicked leave at the end of the Zoom call, I turned my phone on. There was a message from one of my mum's friends who she'd prayed for many years. And it simply said this: "Phil, I prayed that prayer with you. I believe Jesus died for me." Isn't that amazing? But why does that happen? Because a woman in her last days, where she has every right to be thinking of herself, "you do you," thinks of others. Jesus says there is no greater love than they that lay their life down for their friends. May that be true for you, Vine Life. Secondly, we read from Jesus that great friendship is intentional. So there's an extraordinary line a couple of times that happens in this passage, in verse 16, where Jesus says, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you." Now, this isn't normally what happened. Normally what would happen is that disciples would choose their rabbi. Kind of learned students would find someone they wanted to be like. So they'd kind of wander around and they would say, "Can I apprentice to you?" And then the rabbi, if they felt that they were able to apprentice this disciple, they would then kind of choose that person and choose them to follow them. But actually the way around it was is that disciples chose rabbis. But Jesus is intentional. He flips the norm. He spends a night praying and then chooses 12 people to spend his time with, disciples, leading many to say that Jesus' greatest miracle wasn't the feeding of the 5,000. It was having 12 close friends in his 30s. But what Jesus does with these 12 is he spends time with them. He's really intentional with them. But what we also see is that he's more intentional with some than others. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a few really awkward moments in the Gospels, where Jesus says to 9 of his disciples, "You wait there." And then he says, "Peter, James and John, you come with me." Can you imagine being one of the 9? Imagine being Thomas and you're like waiting for your name to be called, thinking you're kind of in the inner circle. And he goes, "Peter, come along. James, come along. John," and Thomas is there going, "Come on, come on, come on." And his name never comes. Do you know, I feel really sorry for Andrew. Because Andrew is Peter's brother. And James and John are brothers. So the first set of brothers get to go with Jesus. Peter gets to go. Andrew must have been thinking, it is my time. Never comes. Do you know what's even worse? Andrew introduced Peter to Jesus. And so in moments like on the Mount of the Transfiguration, where Jesus has this incredible moment where Moses and Elijah turn up and the voice of the Father comes and says, this is my son whom I love. I'm really pleased with him. Only Peter, James and John are there. Just before Jesus, in fact, just after Jesus says these words, before he goes to the cross, they go to Gethsemane. Jesus is in his lowest possible moment. He's so full of anguish that he sweats blood. Who are with him? Not the nine, but Peter, James and John. Jesus is really intentional with a few. And as I've researched friendship over the last few years, and hear me really well on this, because we need to be as inclusive as possible with our friendships. But I've heard of a lot of stories where people have said, you know, I've got a lot of mates, but I've not got many friends. And so my encouragement to you is maybe if you've got lots of connections, who are the people who you need to spend a disproportionate amount of time with? You can't be great friends with everyone. That's the good news. But it's also the bad news. And we need such great wisdom to know how we navigate that. But don't go through life with just acquaintances. Have some friends who journey with you, who you can be really vulnerable with, who you spend a disproportionate amount of time and energy with. What's even more amazing is that as I've researched friendship over the last few years, the latest science seems to back up what Jesus kind of knew. So there's an amazing scientist, anthropologist called Robin Dunbar, and he wanted to work out how many friends our brains are capable of having. So he was looking at people with like 2,000 Facebook friends, and he was like, surely it's not possible. And he was right. So the bit of our brain that's capable of holding relationships, he worked out is only big enough to hold about 150 friends. If you've got 2,000 friends on Facebook, you think you're friends with all of them, science says you're not. But what's amazing is this guy's not a Christian. So he worked out 150 is about the limit of friends. By the way, if you've not got 150 friends, don't worry. That's kind of the upper limit. But then he said, how many good friends can you have? And how many great friends can you have? This non-Christian anthropologist worked out you can have about 12 good friends and about 3 great friends. And I'm reading this, I'm like, that sounds really familiar. Isn't that amazing? It's like the Son of God had help. But my encouragement to you is to be intentional with your friendship. But the second mic drop moment in this passage is when Jesus says some shocking, scandalous things about his relationship with his disciples. Because twice in this passage, Jesus says, for example, in verse 15, I have called you friends. When Jesus first said this, the disciples would have been like, what? Say that again, Jesus. You've called us what? Because the way in which the disciples understood their relationship to Jesus was not as friends. It was as kind of pupils and teacher, disciples and rabbi. There was distance between them. I recently went on holiday and discovered that my old biology teacher was in the same place. So we met up for a beer. And as I'm kind of chatting to him, I couldn't stop calling him sir. It was really awkward. He kept saying, call me Jonathan. I'm like, sorry, sir. There was distance between the disciples and Jesus. There's no other reference in the whole of the first century of any other rabbi calling his disciples friends. And yet Jesus breaks this divide. And yet what I want to communicate to you today is that the theologian A.W. Tozer says that what comes to our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And the Bible gives us so many different images that when we come to get our head around what it is to relate to the all-powerful, all-creating God of the universe. It's no surprise that it gives us lots of different images that he's our creator, he's our sustainer, our provider, our savior, our judge, our king, our teacher. But don't miss this. God is also your friend. We relate to God as friend. Isn't that amazing? So we're in the prayer meeting just an hour or so ago. I had this, we went away to a Christian festival at Easter and there was a theme song and my kids won't stop singing it. The second line of the song is how you made the heavens and how you hold our hearts. Something powerful that we hold as Christians, that the God of the universe, the God Almighty, holds our hearts. Now, we must be really careful that he must never become the Lord Almighty more than the Lord Almighty. We hold that tension, but God is also your friend. And you know, if he's not your friend this morning, the best news in the universe is that he can be. But if he is, I want to encourage you with all I am to make that relationship your life. That's why at the beginning of this passage, Jesus says, I'm the vine, that's the image, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. If you're connected, remain in my love. You'll know what it is to be alive. If you make your friendship with Jesus the number one thing, you're connected, you'll be alive. But if you don't, the Bible says, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, they're thrown into the fire and burned. Do you know, it's so easy, and I think in our Western world especially, to become so comfortable in our faith, to think that Jesus somehow slightly improves our life, makes it a bit better. Far too many of my friends are more concerned about their next promotion at work or their next house extension or their Candy Crush addiction or the number of followers they've got on social media more than their relationship with Jesus. Don't miss it. Make your relationship with Jesus your life. And finally, after being sacrificial and intentional, I believe Jesus models something about invitational friendship. Friendship is always looking to invite people to the next level. Maybe some that's handshake to hug. But in this context, verse 16, Jesus says, I appointed you that you might go and bear fruit. And one of the ways in which we bear fruit is by becoming more like Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. We become like Jesus by spending time with him, by remaining in his love, by developing our friendship with him. But here's another way in which we bear fruit. We extend the invitation that we've been given of friendship to a world that so desperately needs it. And I wonder whether for you as Vine Life, over the next few years, I've got absolutely no doubt that you will grow as a church, both in terms of depth of friendship with Jesus, but also numerically. But the way in which I think that will happen is through friendship. Do you know, I'm a missiologist. My job at the Evangelical Alliance is that I study how people become Christians, try and help the UK church make the most of those pathways. Do you know, the most significant human relationship in someone becoming a Christian in the UK today, it's not a pastor like Ralph or even an evangelist like me. It's a friend, a neighbour, a colleague, or a family member. If your friends are going to come to know Jesus, it's most likely going to be through you. And you know, I'm seeing in the world at the moment a deep vacuum of hope. People, I think, in recent months are more open to the gospel than they have been in recent years. I think one of those things is that I think we're living in bonkers times, aren't we? Do you know, the Collins Dictionary word of the year for 2022 was permacrisis, which refers to an extended period of instability and insecurity, especially one resulting from a series of catastrophic events. Feels like we've lurched from a global pandemic to a cost of living crisis, the threat of World War III, death of a monarch, ecological and economic meltdown. And in the midst of this permacrisis, we, as people of hope, as people who are friends with Jesus, or the people who are not yet Christian friends, will come to for hope as a non-anxious presence in an anxious world. And I've seen this most recently in my mate John. My mate John, I've been praying for about 20 years to become a Christian. And it's slow going, I've got to say. If you've got any friends like that, slow going. And about this time last year, John reached out to me. And sometimes it's funny, isn't it, when not yet Christians reach out to you. And they're kind of awkwardly asking for prayer. And so he texts me this and he says, got any time over weekend? Need a word with the top dog big man if you can help, pal. And I'm reading this and I'm like, I think he's asking for me to pray for him. So as you can see from the interchange, I'm a very classy gent. And so we went for breakfast one morning at Wetherspoons. Other places to go for breakfast are available, but that was the closest to me and him. And as we sit there and I say, mate, what? Tell me about the top dog big man. What's that about? And he says, I've had a phone call this week from my brother who said he's got a suspected brain tumour. He's got three kids, one on the way. He said, well, will you look after my kids when I die? What'd you say? And I didn't really know what to say, to be honest. So I said the thing that Christians say. I said, well, we should pray, shouldn't we? And he goes, what now? I said, yeah. So in the middle of Wetherspoons, 9:30 on a Saturday morning with people already on the beer. We pray that his brother might be healed. And I pondered this and thought, you know, why did he reach out to me? He's got other friends. I think we are those who carry hope. We are those people in a hope anxious world that people reach out to in those moments. So checked in with him the next week and said, how are we doing? No news. And then got this text on the following Tuesday. No brain tumour. Thanks for your work, pal. Do you know what? He's still not a Christian. What has God got to do? But do you know what? He might be a bit closer. But we are those. We are those who people reach out to. May you know that for you today. And my prayer for you as a church is that you would be one who lay down your lives for one another. Ones who are intentional with your friendship, that your strength as a church will be proportionate to the bonds of trust that you have with one another. But also don't miss the moment, as was so beautifully invited by Katie earlier, with the kind of stuff that you're involved in. Be invitational. Have your arms wide open. Even if now and again it leads to a bit of awkwardness. Because we live in a world that so desperately needs Jesus, so desperately needs connection, both with us and with him. So may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Let's pray, shall we? Just invite you, wherever you are, just to ask God to burn on your heart that which has been shared today. Whatever I've said that's unhelpful for you, just brush it away and allow God to sift the gold. We're just going to spend 30 seconds in quiet, just listening to God. If you don't know God, I invite you to open your heart to him and maybe allow him to speak to you for the first time. A few things I just wonder whether God is stirring today. And the first is, I wonder whether there's anyone here today who feels far from God. Maybe you've never had a moment where you've accepted God's offer of friendship to you. I believe that God would say to you that he loves you. He's with you. He knows you. His deepest desire is to know you as his friend. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross to take all your sin and your shame and your guilt. He rose again so that you could know life now and life in heaven forever. If that's you this morning, I just invite you with all I am to open your heart to God, to accept his offer of friendship. I'm going to pray a really simple prayer that I invite you to pray with me. To say, God, I'm sorry where I've got it wrong. Thank you that you died and rose again for me. And I might not have it all together, but I won't have a go at following you. So if that's you, I just invite you to say, God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you want to be my friend. Today I want forgiveness for my past. I want to know you with me today. And I want to know hope for my future. And I want to have a go at following you. Oh, man. Let's just keep staying in the space of God speaking to us. But just invite you, if you did that, please, would you make yourself known to Ralph or one of the team after the service? Let's keep allowing God to speak to us. I wonder whether there might be some today who, as we talked about poverty of relationship, and the Lord's just calling some of us to be more intentional, to pray about those who we spend our time with. Maybe relationships broken down and the Lord wants to encourage us to restart, to build bridges, to reach out. And finally, I wonder whether there's some who, as I was talking about my mate John, something bursting in your heart for your friends who don't yet know Jesus. And the Lord wants to invite you to intensify your prayers for them. Consider what you might invite them to on the next step of their journey.
Hope you enjoyed today's message. If you want to find out more, head to our website, vinelife.co.uk, or follow us on Instagram. God bless and see you soon.